All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence. We are at the Blue Note, and it's a very special return to the islands for Air Supply. They've got a long history, a lot of fans, and they're here through Sunday night. Graham Russell, Russell Hitchcock, the duo that make up Air Supply. Welcome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Dave, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Before we get into the special nature of Hawaii, the tour itself, the Lost in Love experience.
Well, the Lost in Love experience is something that our fans coined. We do meet and greets before and after our show. We always have. And a lot of fans keep coming back. There are some fans that have seen us over 1,000 times. And so we said to them, what is it? Why do you keep coming back? And they say, it's nothing in particular. It's just everything. It's like this amazing experience. So we took that and said, well, that's what it is. So that's what it's going to be for our 45th year, which is this year.
45 years. And what does that say when you think of a fan coming to see you 1,000 times? I mean, Jerry Garcia must be in heaven going, I don't think anybody came to see us 1,000 times.
I wouldn't come to see me 1,000 times. I mean, it's amazing to think that people have supported you from the beginning. Right. In fact, we have people that are bringing their great-grandchildren to the shows now. We've been on the road every year without a break since 75, so we're doing something right.
And back to that history in the islands, as I sort of alluded to in introducing you. So a live 1982 video was recorded in Honolulu. That was the time that, according to Steve, the mystery emailer, who emails me a lot of historical data, that you guys did your first two dates here. Does that sound right?
Correct. Steve is absolutely right.
So he has November 19th and 20th, 1982 it was. Air Supply make their Hawaii debut at the Blaisdell Arena. Even the Nights Are Better was the current hit at the time.
I remember the film and the video for HBO. In fact, something interesting, some years later we were doing a meet and greet somewhere and this lady said that she was giving birth to her child and she had the Hawaiian video played in the delivery room because she wanted her child to be exposed to our music. Yeah. When he came into the world, I thought that's pretty heavy, you know.
Well, that goes along with what you're talking about, that family thing of passing it on to your children, your grandchildren. And also the other thing about the show that I thought was a trip, because I just watched some of the video, you guys had quite a laser production.
We did. We had the lasers and the rocks from the Australian desert. It's funny because Russell and I have a joke about it now, because we used to come out and on a cue, each of us would go, duh, and this giant laser beam would go and go, and he would go, duh. And we look at it now and it's kind of a little cheesy. But, you know, it wasn't then.
And the rocks, that's cool. I couldn't tell what that was. Did have that Stonehenge. I kept thinking of Sabbath with Ian Gillan that time.
That was our version of Stonehenge, yeah. We had the best rocks in the business.
And it was reminiscent of the stage sets Yes used to have too, actually. They would have stuff like that kind of look like that. There's another neat thing about who you guys are that you both share, but you share it in such a different place. The year was 1964. In the same year, but in two totally different parts of the world, both of you were exposed to a group that would change your life. I don't know who saw it first, Beatles doing both Nottingham and Melbourne.
Yeah, I don't know which one of us saw it first, but I know that the impact was incredible. I mean, for me, it changed my whole life. And I know that Russell felt the same way when you saw them in Melbourne. You know, everything made sense suddenly. And I was 14, you know, but I was already writing songs, but I didn't know why. Then suddenly everything became clear.
Who'd you see him with, you remember?
Roy Orbison, Cilla Black, the Big Three that were another Liverpool group, and the Merseybeats. What a great bill. Yeah, I mean, Roy Orbison was a legend.
Theater size, what was the venue?
It was a cinema, maybe 200 seats. Just pandemonium. You couldn't hear anything, you know, but it was just the most exciting 20 minutes of my life.
Were you with friends?
I was with my first girlfriend at the time. I still remember it quite strongly. Just the electricity, and I've never heard anything like it since.
And you?
They played in a place called Festival Hall, probably 5,000 seats.
Oh, wow.
And they performed with Johnny O'Keefe. He's like the Elvis of Australia. Okay. Sounds Incorporated.
Who accompanied you? And you were same age, basically?
I was with my cousin. I was 15. Same as Graham. I couldn't hear anything. Because in those days, none of the instruments was mic'd. So you'd between screaming and, you know, she loves you, you know.
And were the girls up to the, like, pandemonium level with them?
It was unbelievable. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it. Even guys were passing out and getting handed over the top of the crowd, you know. Really, it was outrageous. And, in fact, I think the population of Melbourne was about 1 million then, and they had a civic reception for the Beatles at the Town Hall in Melbourne, and 300,000 people showed up.
Lord.
That's a third of the city's population.
Like a rock concert at Woodstock.
Yeah, and they came out and waved, and then it was it. you know.
Over the rest of your career since, have you gotten to interact with any of those cats?
No, Graham met Ringo once.
He did, yeah.
How long ago was that?
It was 12 years ago. We were rehearsing at a rehearsal facility in Hollywood, and I knew he was there, and I asked the guy running the place if I could meet him, and he said, yeah, I'll arrange it. And so Ringo came out to where we were rehearsing, and suddenly he was standing there, but he was with Joe Walsh because he was in his band, and I just froze. I went, you know, and he asked me what my name was, and I said, it's Graham, and he said, oh, okay, you know, and he signed a photo for me.
And walked away.
And walked away.
And you're thinking, I don't know what to say. Yeah,
but I want to say something.
And so many people have had that incident. Well, when you talk about getting to meet him, there's an interesting story about how you guys met. This relationship got started in the set of a big theatrical production in Sydney. Share a little of the story about how you came across each other at the set for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, well, it was 12th of May, 1975, and obviously hadn't met Graham at this point, and it was my first entry into show business because I didn't have any clue that I was going to do it for a living. I worked in an office before. So when I got there, I was really intimidated because there was the people that had been in the previous production who knew what they were doing, and then there were other people who were stupid. And then I think we were in the same three or four people, Graham and I, and that had never been in a production like that before. But it was only a couple of weeks after we first met that we started to work on one of Graham's original songs. We say now, it's easy to say, it was meant to be, and it's a perfect relationship for me and him. You know, I don't write songs, I can't do that, and he doesn't want to be the lead singer, and just being on stage with him is a great pleasure for me. It's when I'm home for a couple of weeks, if we have that break, I just think I should be somewhere else. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, he gets dressed up in his stage stuff at home.
I miss Graham.
I sing a couple of songs of the Cat.
That's funny. Well, as we go to wrap it up, where do both of you live these days?
We both live in America. I live in Utah.
And you're in Georgia?
Yeah, Atlanta, yeah.
But you're associated, obviously, with Australia. And being here in Hawaii, we're on the border of the Asia Pacific. And so we talk about Australia a whole lot. And Australia is going through this unbelievable experience with the fires. But yet, it's a seasonal thing to some degree. And while this is a whole lot worse, I guess my question is, when you look back at your life growing up, was there ever a time that Australia was going through a crisis like this that you can remember?
I think there were fires in the 50s, but nothing like this at all. In fact, I saw yesterday, too, there was some thunderstorm somewhere, and it was golf ball sized hail and birds falling out of the sky. Oh, it's like, you know, apocalypse is on.
How has it touched you?
It's touched me very deeply, even though I'm English, you know. I
immigrated.
Yes, absolutely. And I was very young, so I have great ties to Australia. And we're going to try and create something where we can send money to them, you know, and everybody should. But it's just one of those things that probably will never happen again in 1,000 years. But it's happened now, and it's just terrible, you know. Like, I believe there's over 1.2 billion animals that have died. And
well, let's hope it doesn't happen for another 1,000 years. A lot of people seem to think this could be the beginning of a series of things that are similar because of climate change. And
well, yeah, I mean, I dropped out of high school, so I'm certainly not an intellectual person, but anybody that doesn't think that climate change is an issue is out of their mind. I just don't, yeah. I don't get that kind of mentality at all.
We're very strong about that, you know. We talk about it all the time, but climate change is definitely here, folks. It's here, you know, there are so many signs and stuff.
No question. Well, as a final note, what's going to be next for you guys?
We have dates booked until September, then we'll just see what happens after that. But we intend to try and make 50 years on the road, so we're looking forward to the next 5 years.
You're going to be going to the play? I was reading about your stage production, the rock musical.
Yeah, that's in the pipeline. I love theatre, you know, and I'm very interested in Broadway. But we're getting close, and I can't tell you the name because...
Let's not give it away.
Right, yeah, yeah. But I appreciate you mentioning it.
People can look on the Facebook page and learn more about what the Cats and Air Supply are up to when they're not on stage. It is Russell Hitchcock, Graham Russell, and two Russells no waiting, one could say. And they're here. They're here till Sunday. I hope you had fun doing this. It was a lot of fun having you on the show.
Thank you, man. Much appreciate you being with us.
Right on, brother.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone, thinking of you till it hurts. I know you hurt too, but what else can we do? Tormented and torn apart. I wish I could carry your smile in my heart for times when my life seems so low. It would make me believe what tomorrow could bring when today.
say that I